This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, A Dangerous Journey, Encountering Jesus, Pastor Scott reminds us that our Christian walk will not be an easy one. This message was recorded on Sunday, February 22, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, you know, last week, Sunday after church, I got home and I got an email from Foursquare, and it was from like our president, and he just urged us to pray because 21 Christian Egyptians were beheaded by ISIS, and it was like, wow, you know, such a tragedy, and I don't know how people can be so cold and cruel. But you know, the decision to follow Jesus, you know, can have really harsh consequences. And in his letter, he urged us to pray for their families. And it's, you might have seen it on the news. And when I heard this, I was like, wow. And even some of the leaders are asking us to, you know, have a moment of silence and pray for them. So we're going to begin this morning, and we're going to ask you to be silent, and in your heart, I would ask that you would pray for not only these martyrs, but all those who just recently lost their lives from this terror group called ISIS. And, you know, something's got to happen, you know, somebody somewhere, we got to pray that these guys would stop doing these things. But we know that following Christ can be dangerous. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment, just in your hearts, be silent and pray for these people. Go ahead. All right, thank you. Keep them in your prayers. You know, following Christ, you know, it can be a dangerous thing. It can be costly. And if you read the Bible, if you read, like, especially the New Testament and Acts, and, you know, there was consequences for like, the disciples, for the apostles, for following Christ. Even Paul was the guy who was, he was Saul, but he was out persecuting the Christians until he got converted. But if you recall the story of Stephen, if you read in Acts, some of the women were being neglected at the time of serving food. So the disciples prayed and they selected some men. And Stephen was one of them to take care of serving the food. And Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He was the first Christian martyr. You know, he held so strongly to his belief that he was willing to die for it. He had so much faith. And he began to preach the word to the people. And he started from like Abraham, and he's been telling the Jews that, you know, throughout history, you guys was putting our prophets to death. And he was telling them the truth. And they did not want to hear it. You know, they were to a point where they put their hands over their ear, and they got to the point where they got some people to speak out lies against him. And then when the lies were told, these guys got him, they pushed him out of the city, and they started throwing stones at him. And while he was being pummeled by the rocks. I mean, you guys ever played rock fight when you guys was little?
You see, only the older guys would do that. Because the younger kids, they got Xbox and Nintendo. We never had that. So we had to pick up rocks. And if you were blessed enough, you actually had a rubbish can cover as your shield. I didn't. That's why I looked like this. But that's what we did. We played rock fight. And if you ever got hit by one of those rocks, it was like, wow. Knock some sense into you or knock some sense out of you. I mean, I didn't get hit enough to say enough, I quit. But could you imagine a whole bunch of people throwing rocks at you until you die? That was serious rock fight. We never took it that far, thank God. But while people were throwing rocks at him, he was such an incredible man, full of the Spirit. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, do not hold this sin against him. Then he fell asleep, meaning he died. You know, that's like, wow. How can somebody, you know, love Jesus so much that even when he was getting pummeled by rocks, would say, Lord, forgive them, for, you know, don't hold this sin against them. You know, as we prayed for these 21 martyrs, how many of us actually prayed for ISIS that they would repent? Some of you, yeah, those of you who did, you guys are awesome, because sometimes, man, it's so hard to pray for our enemies. We want them pummeled by stones. But he prayed for those who were throwing the stones at him while he was being killed. You know, for us, having an intimate relationship with Jesus can be dangerous. You know, especially, I don't know, any of you ever proclaimed your faith at work and then your boss said you could be fired for doing that? I mean, I tried that once, and they said, oh, you better watch what you say, because, you know, you can be fired for saying what you say. And I was like, wow, this is serious stuff. It can be dangerous. You could be alienated from your friends because you follow Jesus. You could, and if people know that you follow Jesus, they're going to watch you so much closer. And the moment you swear, they're going to be like, wow, but I thought you go to church. Or the moment you step out of line, they're going to say, yeah, I thought you go to church. I thought you believe in God. How come you act like that? So the thing is, you know, because we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that relationship with him. Why risk it? Why risk the persecution, the being watched over, the being alienated from your friends? And this is one of the reasons that I believe that God says that, man, this is worth it. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus says this, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, that's why we follow Jesus. We follow him at all costs. Why? Because in Jesus, there is life. And I think that is worth everything that we may go through because we say we're Christians. Because in him, there is life. I mean, without him, is death. Amen? So the thing is, sometimes, you know, we jump in. And when we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord, when we do the right things, when we get married, in the eyes of God, we're doing something right. And as soon as we get married, we get attacked by the enemy. Soon as we say yes to Jesus, we encounter trials. Before we followed Jesus, you know, some of us say life was easy, life was good, everything was fine. I was left alone by the enemy because you were on this side of salvation. And then once you came on this side, the eternal life side, then you started getting jabs and pokes and false cracks from the enemy. And it's dangerous, yeah, because, you know, you can lose things. You can get depressed. You can get the trials alone is like, man, sometimes it's tough. But if you understand the purpose of the trials, you know, you kind of get why. But the thing is, when we choose to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our journey, it becomes sort of dangerous. Because if you look at the Bible, if you look at the people who were proclaimed to be Christians, those 21 Egyptian Christians, it cost them their lives. So the first point is, we got to count the cost. You know, counting the cost of following Jesus. You know, you may give up things. And certainly, my neighbor just invited me to go fishing over April 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. It's like, and you know that's Easter weekend. You know where am I going to be? Fishing. Who said fishing? Shame on you. You know I'm going to be here. I'll be fishing for you. But, you know, it's a cost. You know, you don't see Pastor Alex. He never takes his boat out on Sunday mornings because he's in church. And the only fishing I do on Sunday is fishing for people. I mean, there's a cost in following Jesus. And it's a cost. I got to say, it's a cost that I am so glad to pay because I know the results. I'm not losing my soul to go chase after the worldly things, but I made a choice a while back to say, you know what? It's going to cost me, but yet I'm going to follow Jesus. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said this to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will find it." And I got to say, man, since I've been following Jesus, I've found life. And life is, there's a great meaning and a wonderful purpose to my life now. My life is not about serving myself, what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to drive, what I want to eat. It's not about that anymore. And it's great. It is wonderful. In Philippians 3:7-8, it says this, "But whatever things were gained to me," this is Paul speaking, "those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." How powerful. He gave up so many things to follow Christ. Paul had once thought that those great qualifications listed in the previous verses were so important for his salvation. Now he considered them worthless. All the qualifications no longer mattered because of what Jesus had done. Paul learned that nothing he could do would earn him salvation. All his hard work, all his meticulous law-keeping and zeal for the Jewish faith had gained him nothing. See, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. And that sealed his change. It just changed. His whole life got turned upside down. And when Paul understood the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, his accomplishments became nothing more than garbage by comparison. Something like that happens to us. Something like that happened to me. In all the things that I tried to work for, all the positions that I tried to reach and take a hold of, all of those, you look back now, it's like, it's nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ, what he has done for me, what he's doing for me, and what I get to live for now. It's a whole new meaning. Number two, there is no limit to who God can use to accomplish his work. You know, there is no limit to who God can use to accomplish his work. I am the perfect example of that. Look at what God could do through me. And every time I think about it, and I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus, for equipping me, for using me to help others. I think somewhere, you know, I was doing some premarital counseling this week, and, you know, wonderful couple that I met, and they couldn't get married in their church because one of them was previously divorced. And I was so sad to hear that they couldn't get married in their own church. And sometimes, you know, and I just get sad that I think sometimes ministers along the way, you know, they might lose focus on their assignment. And I tell my guys this, that if I ever lose focus of what God calls me to do, then give me one slap or kick me. If I ever lose the focus that I am here to serve, then slap me one good one. If I expect everybody to serve me, slap me, wake me up. Because I think when you get a pastor's license or a license as a minister, I think that little card, even though it's just a card, I think for me personally, it is a ticket to serve each and every one of you the best way I can. And I told my guys, if I ever forget that, man, give me a wake-up call, because I don't want to be one of those guys who expect to be served by his people. But I that's why I get here on Sunday mornings, and I just enjoy waking up, coming here to serve. It's just something God has put in my heart. And I am so grateful that he has made my heart in such a way. You know, there is no limit. I think the only limits come from my mind when I ask God for things. That I ask for things like this when God wants to give me things like this. I think it's my mind that I put limits on God. In Acts 4:13, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Man, you spend time with Jesus and you'd be amazed too. Peter and John, fishermen by trade, never had formal theological training. They were ordinary men who had no special training. I can relate to that. When Pastor Alex wanted to license me as a pastor, my first thought is like, you are crazy. You're out of your mind. And I told him, I never went to school to be this. I went to college. Yes, I went to college for, what, 3 or 4 semesters. And I ended up with 2 credits. Yeah, how you figure that? I went full-time now. And I had 2 credits after about 4 semesters. I had 2 credits. No, was it 3 credits? I forget. Well, something was below 5. And I thought, you crazy. Why would you want to license me? I'm not educated. I couldn't even put myself to college because I didn't want to read and I didn't want to discipline myself to study. And he tells me, well, you went to school the hard way, the school of life, the hard knocks, disobedient, get knocked down, get false crack, get up, try to do things your own way again, get knocked down, get beat up. And after 100 times of, or maybe let's say hundreds of times, or 37 years of getting false crack, you finally wake up one day and it's like, man, this is not working. Yeah, and how many of you here right now are younger than 37? Whoo, you guys on it. Clay, are you sure? I'm going to have to ask your parents how old you. But yeah, after so, and then, so what I did was, and you know, what I did was I finally kind of like, okay, I cannot keep doing the same thing expecting different results. They say that's insanity. So at the age of 37, I tried doing something different. I tried to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and study. And, you know, I got to say, after like 1 week, I realized that this thing works. The relationship with Jesus thing, it really is a great thing. And as I grew and as I learned, man, I every day, every week, I am in awe. You know, I sometimes sit back and I pause. You know, I press the pause button of my life. And I think, and I look, and I think, wow. God has really, really blessed me with things that I don't deserve, with friends like each and every one of you who I get to hang out with and talk story with a wonderful church family who we all love and we love each other, with a beautiful wife and children and choke tools and good fishing equipment. And even when I go fishing and I catch 2 fish, I'm happy now. Before, I would be kind of frustrated and disappointed. But I, you know, try doing that. You know, once in a while, stop, press the pause button in your life, and look what God has done. I can say when I since spending time with God, oh man, life is great. It's not easy. Okay, you got to understand that. The dangerous journey of following Christ is, it is great, it is fulfilling, it is rewarding. But one thing I want to tell you, it is not easy. I don't think it was meant to be. Like you say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Right? If you said yes to Christ and everything was going to be paved roads, roses, air conditioning, it's not like that. It's trial, trial, victory, victory. And it's like going to the gym every day and working out and lifting weights, going through the pain to get stronger. But it's so worth it. In Acts 9, this is Saul. Now there was a disciple in the man. This is what he went through. This is what happened to him. You know, as before I read it, but you can understand what was happening. Saul was a mean old bad guy going out. Maybe he might have been the ISIS of those days, because he would go and look for Christians. If he was here now, he would come in with a letter and have all of us arrested, put in chains. And he, on the way to do that, on the way to the church to do that, he was on the road and He had an encounter with Jesus. He got knocked off his horse. How many of you had to get knocked off your horse in order to find Jesus? Man, some of us, it was very painful, yeah? So now he's blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into the city. And then we pick it up in Acts 9. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he said. And the faithful guy said, "Here I am, Lord." It's like the Lord called me. He said, "Here I am, Lord. Scott, go start a church in KL." "Oh, I don't think so. Not yet. You crazy." Yeah, that's what I said, you know, like, "Man, you crazy." I thought, who am I to be able to do that? But Ananias, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up. Go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, this is exactly what I said, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Man, that encounter on that road changed his life. You know, he would go out and persecute the Christians. After that encounter with Jesus, he became the Christian. He became the one who got whipped, the one who got shipwrecked, the one who got thrown in jail. And Jesus said, you know, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And sometimes you think, man, suffer. Really? You know, when my neighbor goes fishing on a Sunday, you can say, like, "Yeah, I'm suffering because I cannot go." But when you look at it from a different perspective, what am I gaining? I'm gaining my soul, and I'm not gaining the world. And it's okay that I cannot go fishing on a Sunday. I cannot do what I would like to do and stay up to midnight on Saturday night, because if I did that, then I wouldn't be all here on Sunday morning. And you guys deserve me to be fully here on Sunday mornings, right? I mean, would you want me to be half asleep and half prepared, trying to make my way through the Word? I don't dare not try that. Mumbai, you guys take me out and play rock fight. I don't want to be on the losing end of that. But Saul, you know, he had an encounter with Jesus. His life now is in danger. You look at how many times he had to sneak out of cities, how many times that he escaped death, how many times he got whipped, rocks thrown at him, thrown in jail. You know, Saul went and he waited for directions, and the Lord spoke to this man. And Ananias, you got to give him credit. It's like if the Lord told you right now, "Get up, go to Syria, and go to this guy in ISIS and go pray for him," we'd say, "You crazy." I mean, but in a sense, that's what he was telling Ananias to do. You know, a Jew who had become a believer in Christ, Ananias responded. He said, "Yes, Lord." And the meeting between them two was arranged by God. And as Ananias prayed for him, what something like scales came off of his eyes. And he was able to see. Man, if God tells you to go speak to somebody who has a bad reputation, would you do it? Would you risk what you have now? Because following Christ can be dangerous. I mean, look, you guys may think, I'm here on Sunday morning. I gave up sleep to be here. I mean, hey, if you don't know what's going on right now, today is the Daytona 500. Yeah. How many rednecks in here like NASCARs? Yeah, we got a couple. But hey, we gave up that so that we can be here. You know, what is your encounter with Jesus like? Think about it. What is your encounter with Jesus like? Are you trying to play it safe? I mean, think about it. Is there any risk involved? You know, when God asks you to tithe, man, some of you struggle, but you're faithful in tithing. Are you trying to play it safe? Or is there a risk? Are you stepping out of your comfortable place? Because I tell you what, every Sunday morning, probably about from 1 o'clock to the time I get up, I wake up and I'm thinking, what day it is? Really, you know, like even this morning, I got up at like 1 o'clock thinking, what day it is? And then when I realized it's Sunday morning, like, oh, whew. So all morning from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, whenever I was conscious, this is like, I'm in my bed like, Holy Spirit, I need you, 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 I need you. I cannot do this. That's what it's like from my Saturday night to Sunday morning. It's like, it's almost like anxiety because I know the responsibility that I have in trying to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, truthful, creative, so that you will understand crystal clear and not to say something that may mistakenly lead you astray. And for me, it's not a comfortable place to be. But God, I gotta say this to you. God does not call you to be comfortable, man. He doesn't. He wants you to be obedient. Now, what is your encounter with Jesus like? Is your encounter with Him only on Sundays? Because if you are spending only an hour a week with someone you love, then that's not going to cut it. If you were married and spent an hour a week with your spouse, how long do you think you would be married? Might last a day. I mean, if you were married and only spent an hour, I think you got to go see John and Amy for some marriage coaching. Like I said, following Jesus is not all paved road. It's not all air conditioning. It's not all a bed of roses. What is it? It's commitment. It's endurance, it's faith, it's hard work, it's getting up in the morning, opening your word, and finding out what God wants you to do. And when you find out what God wants you to do, it's doing it. And most of all, it is worth every bit of sacrifice. It's worth every trial that you go through. I mean, you get life from following Jesus. I mean, would you think about this question? Would you dare to fully, F-U-L-L-Y, 100%, would you dare to 100% fully follow Jesus? Would you be able, would you be willing to take this dangerous journey? Because you know what? It's dangerous. But yet when we take this journey together, man, it is fun. You know, a few weeks ago, I went on a fishing trip with Al. And where we were fishing is nice and comfortable, smooth rock. I could even sit down on the edge of the cliff and fish. It was so nice. But I tell you what, I hardly caught a thing over there. But about, I'd say, maybe a quarter to a half mile away, there was this nice point sticking out. And I was thinking like, wow, now I want to get there and fish. That looks like a really good fishing spot. So with a bucket in a hand and a fishing pole in another and a fanny pack with all my fishing stuff, I say, I'm going to go on this journey. There was no trail, you know, to that place. You know what it was? It was all lava. Loose. And now I know why they call it lava. Because every time you fall down, you go, And you try to walk on lava with two hands full. It's like, it took me so long to get there. But when I got there, the fish was there. I mean, it wasn't all desirable fish. You know, I caught a trumpet fish about this big, and if you fishermen know, the trumpet fish is like long like a trumpet, and the nose or whatever it is, it's sticky and slimy, and you don't want to touch that thing, but hey, praise the Lord, catch them, release them. Yeah. And I caught some good fish, but it was a dangerous journey to get to that nice fishing ground. And life is, you know, a dangerous journey like that. But then at the end, you can think about walking into heaven. What a glorious place it's going to be. And I thought walking into Dodger Stadium was awesome and walking into Disneyland is awesome. But you can imagine how great heaven is going to be when we get through this dangerous journey with Jesus Christ, giving him all that we can. When we walk into heaven and he welcomes you, and you would want to hear that word, well done, my. Oh, you guys are so smart. I mean, so would you dare to fully follow Jesus? At your workplace? And your family, your friends. You know, next week, Pastor Alex is going to speak. He's going to give me a break. I am, pray for me, because I am going to go to the first ever Shiroma family reunion. Somebody actually, one of my cousins actually took the time to invite all of us to go to this thing. And I think like, wow, I haven't seen some of my relatives in over 10 years. And I got a call to say grace for lunch. I was like, wow. And I can see the doors are opening. And it's like, man, it's part of the journey. And I'm hoping that as I pray, it'll open the door to save the Shiroma family. I mean, it's a dangerous journey. So you say, why risk it? Well, like I said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? So what if I get 10 million tools and I lose my life and I die and I go to hell? I'd rather lose all that and go to heaven. Amen? So, you know, would you? I challenge you, you know, make that choice. Make that commitment. Say, I'm all in for Jesus. Amen. You can put away your notes. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? You know, if you have never been offered the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to have a serious encounter with Him, then I want to give you that chance right now. If you never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I would ask that you would pray this prayer with me right now. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here that we would choose to fully follow you, no matter the cost, that we would choose to pay the price to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That you would use us, Lord, to accomplish your work. That you would show us that there is no limit to what you can do through each and every one of us. And when people see us, they will look and say, like, wow, I can tell that they had an encounter with Jesus. And I want that too. Lord, thank you so much for calling us to go on this journey. And I pray for strength, endurance, and perseverance for all of us as we take this dangerous journey with you that will end in us being in heaven. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.